This is it. We've got an Amex Platinum Pro on our hands, ladies and gentlemen. We haven't seen anyone relax like this before in the Centurion Lounge. Is he connecting to complimentary Wi-Fi? Oh, my. Look at that. He is. And you will not believe where he's going next. The Amex dedicated card member entrance for the win. Unbelievable.
When you get travel perks with Amex Platinum, you're part of the action. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
I want to tell you a story. It's a story about a scandal, broken relationships, gossip, rumors, money, corporate rivalry, and a broom. A performance-enhancing broom. My name is John Cullen. I'm a comedian, podcaster, and for 20 years, I was a semi-professional curler. And I want to tell you the story about how a single broom almost imploded the 500-year-old sport of curling.
We felt like we were bringing a knife to a gunfight.
It's the story of a superstar and his fall from grace.
Well, I was being dragged through the mud.
It's the story of two brother entrepreneurs with a dream.
Yeah, I said, that's great news.
It's a story of intrigue.
I still don't understand why we want to keep his name secret.
The full story has never been told, so I'm going to tell it. Broomgate, how a broom almost killed curling.
It was a year I'd like to forget.
To listen to Broomgate, search for Broomgate in your favorite podcast app. That's all one word, Broomgate.
The following is a presentation of the Eastern Michigan Sports Network.
Spins by the feet, he's to the 10, the 5, touchdown! What a tackle!
Evans up the middle to the 5, into the end zone, touchdown, Eastern Michigan!
Straight from the 734, it's the Blue Cross Blue Shield Eastern Insider Podcast, presented by The Foaling Warehouse, your weekly chance to get in on the action. Now, let's send it to the guys on the inside of it all, Greg Steiner and Tom Helmer.
It's April 15th, Tom, and that can only be one thing.
Tax day.
Absolutely, it's tax day. You make sure your IRS returns are in. They're coming after you. It's also the final time.
They're coming after me.
They might be.
If
you don't pay.
I'm not
pay,
cheating. Yeah, of course I pay.
But you're a guy who does extensions anyways, so you're fine for a while. You work in so many states and businesses that...
Yeah, I do extensions because I always push it to the deadline. Now you, as I recall... Your parents were in town, you had a nice dinner, and then your parents are like, it's time to do the taxes.
Oh, yes. We spent an evening around the dinner table doing taxes. I'm 40-some years old, and I'm doing taxes with my parents on a Friday night. That's excitement.
I'm 54, and my dad wanted to tell me where he wanted me to sit when we went to a restaurant the other night. He's like, you should sit down here at this end of the table, like there. I go, I'm fine here. Well, there's still plenty of room down here, and you'd be closer to the sunshine. We were outdoors. I was like, oh, my gosh. It doesn't end.
Speaking of an end, this is the end of Season 6 of the Eastern Insider. 30 episodes. This will be in the books. One, I can't thank you enough for being the co-host of this year. I mean, Alex Jules carried the load for the last few. He was tremendous. You've picked up for him. Couldn't have asked for a better co-host to pick up in Alex's spot, which big shoes he filled, and you've certainly done so.
Huge shoes. Alex Jewell loves Eastern Michigan as much as you do, and so it was just a pleasure to be asked. I was happy I could fill in and hold down the fort for you this year. 30 podcasts, didn't feel like it, went fast.
It's fast when you're having fun, it's all fun.
So we probably interviewed 60 people?
Oh, at least. I mean, some shows we've done two interviews a show, or three interviews a show, so sometimes we've even done more than that. But we can't thank the listeners enough for tuning in and putting their trust with us. I mean, as the voice of Eastern Michigan, you know better than everybody else. The fans who care about this program do care a lot.
This is what jacked me up to, because we're going to have Scott Weatherby on the show today. Season ticket sales are as good as they've ever been.
Yeah, they're already double what they normally are at this time of the year.
That's great. I love that.
People are excited. Having the spring game inside last week, one, actually worked out better because the weather was not great.
It would have been awful outside.
But the people who wanted to be there, it gave us exclusive reason for season ticket holders to get in. They were able to interact with players and do some things that they normally couldn't do. And I thought it was a good event. And we also talked with Coach Creighton about it afterwards. What you hear is, I know it wasn't a true game, but in a way, I think it actually proved better because he could put all three first team, second team, and third team in positions they might have not gotten into in a game.
Yeah, and that, you know, as a football fan, you're like, oh, I want to see some contact. I want to see some hitting. They came out of this really healthy, which is key. You got to get these guys ready through the summer, and you want to go into fall camp in the best possible shape you can be. So it wasn't a lot of banged up guys in red shirts. There were a lot of healthy players out there, and that bodes well.
Which is the opposite, because remember 2 years ago, everybody's gleaming about the defense. And what do we do on the very final play of the spring game 2 years ago? Mikey Haney goes down, lost for the year, and was never able to be the same. You got to keep these guys healthy because there's only so many hits they can do. You did see a lot of good things. I like the play out of Jeremiah Salem, the QB role. I mean, the kid can sling it. He talks about staying with the system and playing in third year of it. But then again, you also saw what Cole Snyder can do. And those two leading the way in the quarterback room with three other guys that are going to be in the mix, a really good decision that Coach Pike's going to have in front of him.
It's the best quarterback depth. Because I said before, I think it's the best quarterback room this school's had, at least since the start of the 2019 season. Somebody's like, well, you know, what about when they had Preston and you had Mike Glass? And I go, best depth right on this team right now, because you got four or five guys that can really sling it, run the offense. Where there's lacking is experience. Cole Snyder and Aiku Dingwu are two guys that have played a lot of college snaps. Other than that, it's all guys looking to get on the field for the first time, but they're extremely talented, so it's great.
And the one thing we also got to see was a defensive line that's been rebuilt, some new coaching, and I know it still was touch, but those guys blasted through the offensive line pretty heavily, and that will help your offensive line get better because you're going against really good guys.
Yeah, it's a somewhat inexperienced offensive line, and defensively, I never worry about a Ben Needham squad because he will have them ready, and they'll play great defense. Now, they were stronger on the pass defense and the run defense last year, but that's going to go ebb and flow over years. Sometimes your defense just stacks up in better ways than other ways, but there's a lot to be excited about with football, so hoping for a great season.
Yeah, we get to talk with Coach after the spring game, a lengthy conversation with him about a wide range of topics. We do know the portal will open tomorrow, which again means the chances of this team staying same are not going to happen.
No.
It means there would be some people leave, but it also means they get another chance to go back and get some people too.
Right. So you've had a chance to examine everybody through the spring, and now you have a chance to add to that. That's the thing with the transfer portal. It's just a constant revolving door. The upside is, for the most part, Eastern Michigan has been on the winning part of that every time as far as adding people. So if they need to fill some holes or feel they need to adjust, we're going to find out in the next couple of weeks.
And a tool that Chris Creighton and really every Eastern coach that will have very soon that they've never had before is the ability to do a collective and all those things to help those NIL money. Scott Weatherby, we'll talk about it in his interview, but releasing a collective, partnering with Influencer and Teamworks and all those people who have numerous clients around the country. But everyday fans can go on and even start getting people to work for them or just contribute in any way they want. Every little bit's going to go a ways to helping people come here and get paid.
Which is the name of the game now. NIL, all that stuff. Athletes want to try and benefit during their athletic careers. And Eastern Michigan has taken a huge step forward in making that happen for athletes. So it'll be interesting. You know, you could have got a Steve Bird jersey. Or you still could, really.
I still might get a Steve Bird jersey. Drafts next week. Do you expect anyone to be hearing their name called, or at worst, signing some free agent deals?
I think there'll be some free agent deals. I don't know if anybody's going to get their name called. And you look at guys like Tanner Kanu and Hamzy Elzayat had great pro days. I think size-wise, they're going to kind of get what Haesun Beydoun got. And that's, I think he'll get brought in. They'll try those guys out in some rookie camps. I think the prototypical wide receiver is a bigger wide receiver in the NFL now. But those guys can scoot. They got great hands, so I think they'll get looks. I'll be interested in what happens to Brian Dooley. This is a guy that had a tremendous college career on the offensive line. I think he'll get a look as well. Samson Evans, you know, he continues to battle some knee issues, so I think it'll be tough for him to get a look on the NFL side. Maybe the CFL will give him a crack along with some of these other guys. So it's going to be interesting to see how that plays out. I wish the NFL would give a shot to, like, Joe Sparacio. They're going to say he's undersized. He is a tremendous cover linebacker, and he hits like a missile.
Yeah.
So it feels like that type of guy, even if he can break in on special teams or maybe he's a safety for you, that he might get that kind of chance to play as well too. But we'll see how it unfolds. It's been a steady stream of EMU guys that have gone through the NFL in recent years. I know everybody likes to talk about Max Crosby and stuff, but Dylan Drummond with the Lions, Chad Ryland, Patriots, City Sow, Patriots, those type of guys. Jose Ramirez, Tampa Bay Buccaneers. So we'll see what happens, but this is a fascinating time of year to watch this unfold. Do you think anybody's going to get the call?
I would love to see Dooley get the call. I mean, if he could, I think it would be awesome. I mean, a high character guy, can play well. I think he probably won't get drafted for the aspect. Somebody knows they'll be able to sign him early. I could see the Steelers being a team. They always love those high character guys. I think a guy that was an Eagle that was in Missouri this year, and Marcellus Johnson certainly could hear his name, but that's about it. But I'm intrigued to see, especially it would be so great being in Detroit if that could happen.
It would be great. So we'll see. You never know how these drafts are going to unfold, and everybody's lying this time of year anyway about who they want to take or what's really going on. So
some rapid-fire questions as we wrap up this year's Insider. Favorite moment this year could be either on the WEMU side or the podcast side. What was your favorite moment you covered?
Favorite moment. Boy, you're going to stump me right out of the gate here. So I would say, you know, what was a great moment? And one was women's basketball when they beat Bowling Green in the final game of the season, because that team had been through a lot. So for them to get that W in the final game was a big moment. Tyson Acuff was awesome to watch this season. I'm trying to think if there's one men's game that really stuck out to me, but nothing's popping into my mind right now.
I mean the Akron game in Akron.
The Akron game where Billingsley Skies, you and I called that game, he seemed to just come out of like a Harry Potter character out of the floor.
Yeah,
he just morphed into the air. His jersey was above everybody's head, and he slammed that ball down. That win at Akron was a great moment, and really the way they finished the season felt good. It felt good to win. This team hasn't done a lot of winning, so that felt good. So the pressure will be on to win next season. Football, no games came down to the wire in football.
No. That was the one thing. We've always had close games.
We've had like that field goal kick at the end or a big defensive stop right down to the wire. It seems like they won solidly, or the game got out of hand. So either way, that it didn't go either way. So I'd have to say the podcast was probably one of my favorite moments.
Every day.
Yeah.
Every time.
Every day with Greg Steiner.
Exactly.
Including calling some baseball.
We've been calling some baseball. Nice. So if you can't get enough of us, we still have some baseball games coming up.
We can't get enough of each other.
Exactly. It's that time in the show. We have to have your prognostications for the upcoming year. What do you think as you gaze in your crystal ball for the upcoming season?
Greg, as I look into my crystal ball, here's what I see. Football has done a great job of recruiting, and they're not done. The portal will open again. So I'm going to say this year we have one of our best seasons ever. 9-3 for the Eastern Michigan Eagles.
Wow.
Bowl game, the whole bit. I don't know where that puts us. That should put us in a pretty good standing, too, in the MAC. Basketball-wise, the men will finish in the top four in the MAC. Stan Heath and the squad. Good nucleus. I know Tyson Acuff is gone, but there's some strong pieces there, and they will continue to add. And Sahar Nasebe will get the women's team to Cleveland as well in her first year. We'll be double-dipping in Cleveland as far as basketball goes.
Plenty of restaurants for Tom to enjoy in downtown Cleveland. I will go out and say, still this year yet to go, Robbie Britt and Sarah Tisdale will get their teams to their respective MAC tournaments.
I agree with you on that.
I mean, I both think the leadership in them, I'm not putting the pressure on them to guarantee a title yet. I'm just saying they'll get in the mix for those.
I agree with you on that. So there's good times at Eastern Michigan.
Good times. I also project that you, me, and Rob Rubick will be sitting in Amherst, New York, Saturday, August 31st, getting ready for kickoff against the Minutemen, and it will be the final time we have to play them in August.
Which is great because I'm going to sweat through my clothing. There's no air conditioning in that press box. It's one of those situations where my belt is going to melt to my shorts again like it did in Wisconsin. So I don't know if we need to bring a box fan with us or I got to wear some sort of air-conditioned suit or something. But it's going to be a brutal press box up there.
I would like to see an air-conditioned suit.
Maybe it'll be a night kickoff.
Maybe. I guess it could be.
Yeah, that'd be nice. A little sunset. Little cool breeze blowing through.
The 133rd season of EMU football under the lights, and then we go coast to coast because it will be at Washington after that.
I feel most for the equipment truck guys that will have to load up in Amherst, get it back to Ipsy, unload, reload, and fire that truck off to Seattle, Washington.
I have a feeling that will be a halftime segment for the Washington game that we'll discuss how that all happened.
That they did it for Arizona State. Right. Seattle's further.
A little further.
But it's still, they get it done.
It'll be a good one. It's been a fun year. I cannot thank you enough for taking over this role. When we picked you to be the play-by-play voice a few years ago, you didn't know what you were quite getting into when you came. Did your interview?
I didn't even know you'd picked me, really. Right? You guys auditioned me like early in the summer. Like 3 months later, you're like, hey, you got the job.
Well, Rob Rubick gave you all of 7 minutes before he knew he was set, so...
Listen, I want to thank you, and as I've gotten to know you more over the years as we've worked together, and I had this discussion with my wife before I came over here to do the podcast, the amount of work you do is unbelievable, and it's top-notch. Even when you call baseball games, I don't think people understand you're operating both cameras, you're operating your own commercial breaks, you're calling the baseball game flawlessly, you're setting up all this stuff that's really duct-taped and 5 or 6 power cords of stuff plugged in. It's unbelievable. But you have always had a tremendously high standard and you hold the people who work for you accountable. The game notes, everything you do to get people like me on the air or the ESPN broadcast teams, all that stuff is unbelievable. And I know that there are a ton of people at Eastern Michigan that appreciate you and the job you do. I know you don't always get a pat on the back. Sometimes never you get a pat on the back. They just expect it to get done, and you always make sure that it's not only done, but it's done at a top-notch level. And I think the NCAA has recognized that as you took your staff to Cleveland to stat the women's Final Four, and then seconds later they're like, you will be back to do the men's first and second rounds in Cleveland. That's how good you guys are. So I just want you to know, I couldn't have landed at a better university for you and your staff that are on top of everything and make what could have been, it could be a miserable job right, if you don't have the tools to get it done. And you guys treat it like a first-class Power 5 program, and I appreciate that. So thank you, Greg.
Well, I appreciate that so very much. We make sure that the standard is high, and we know the people at home expect that we're going to put out the best product, so we might as well be the best.
Might as well. We're here.
We're here. There's no reason to just go through the motions.
If we're going to do the job, we might as well be the best.
Exactly. We've got to be the best at everything. I mean, we're already the most championships in the league. I can't just
158. Yeah. No one's won more in the MAC than Eastern Michigan.
Let's add some more. So for the final time this year, we really appreciate everybody tuning in. This is plenty of more interviews. Plus, you can always still listen in over the summer before we get you set for a taste in when the MAC has their media day, and then we'll be set for kickoff. And before you know it, everything will be back. It'll be August, and we'll be recharged and re-energized.
Summer will be over before you know it. So get those. Try and get further north than Flint this summer. And
it was Claire.
Claire.
Thompson Donuts.
Really explore the state a little bit.
Oh, yes. We'll get some vacation scheduled. Maybe a trip to Cooperstown. All those fun things.
Yeah, we'll hit Cooperstown again.
Or at least maybe another museum that houses a Hall of Fame.
We could do football. We could do hockey. We could do...
Well, we're going to Massachusetts. Let's just get basketball.
I mean, why wouldn't we?
Why not?
I'll go check out the Basketball Hall of Fame.
Road trip. You can join us with us. This has been the Blue Cross Blue Shield Eastern Insider Podcast presented by the Foaling Warehouse.
Are you ready? Ready to find the right care that works for you? Care that connects you to what you need anytime, anywhere, and fits best with your lifestyle? Whether it's in person or in your pajamas, online or over the phone, Blue Cross Blue Shield of Michigan connects you to the care you need when you need it most. With the largest network of doctors and hospitals, an easy-to-use mobile app, and a 24-hour nurse line. Because we're always ready to help. Learn more about Blue Cross Blue Shield of Michigan at bcbsm.com.
It's here. Foaling Warehouse. And sports will never be the same. Foaling combines the best of bowling and football. But you don't have to be good at either to have a great time at the Foaling Warehouse. Ipsy Ann Arbor's newest place to play is now open. 20 lanes, 2 bars, over 100 beers. The Foaling Warehouse at the corner of Washtenaw and Golfside in Ypsilanti, where everyone comes to play.
There's only one place in the state of Michigan that takes you straight inside the locker room. And that's the Eastern Insider Podcast, your chance to get in on the action, bringing you more coverage than any other program in the mitten.
Well, joining us now, Scott Weatherby, Athletic Director. And it's amazing as we sit here, we can see the football field from here. It's all dirt right now. But the transition that is going on, it almost feels like a bit of a rebirth at Eastern Michigan with all the changes going on right now around campus. There'll be a new track, expansion going on. Does it feel that way to you?
Yeah, I actually feel a big momentum shift. I've been kind of re-energized this 2024, and you know, obviously seeing progress of the track being removed, and if you go see where our new track is going, they're already digging it out and getting ready. And just, you know, sun's out and it's warmer weather. And I was just at tennis, had a huge upset this weekend, and being a part of that, I just feel this shift. And I'm trying to go around and talk to all of our student athletes before they head out in the summer about how important this summer is to us, because I really feel like we could have a really good fall. And I feel like soccer's in a better place, volleyball's in a better place, football's got a lot of transfers coming in. This spring we're finishing up. Tennis is been, I mean, that was the most wins they've had in the MAC. They still got 2 to go in like 10 years. Lacrosse was in first, playing for first place this past weekend. You know, baseball's been, you know, winning record and with the new coach. And so that momentum, I feel that, and plus all the resources that we've given them. And we finally have been able to, the Garvin Center is set up really nicely now with everything we put into that. Got a new women's basketball coach in place and excited. Stan's going after some things. We got basically outside of ACUF, we have the core group that was scoring for us last year. So hopefully, again, all facets are just starting to ramp up to have a successful ending to this year and then getting into next year.
When you look at it, you touched on lacrosse, and we saw yesterday not the result they wanted in that matchup with undefeated CMU, but for year two of lacrosse to be competing for a MAC title this quickly, I mean, that's exactly what you were hoping when you brought in a person like Sarah Tisdale.
Yeah, no, that was the challenge I gave to Sarah. You know, she had won the championship at Central, and I said, you know, you can either join us or we're going to beat you because we're coming. And it may take a couple years, but we're going to find a way. And I was glad she chose to join us and be a part of it. And just real excited. I mean, there are a bunch of freshmen and sophomores out there competing against juniors and seniors and being very competitive and, you know, starting the season 3-0 in the MAC. And, you know, tough loss on Sunday, but look, they'll bounce back, and it'll probably have to go through Central again to win the tournament. And the tournament actually is what matters most now, because you get the AQ to the NCAA. So, you know, hopefully they bounce back. And we weren't full. We didn't have everybody at our disposal. Some of our better players were out, and they'll hopefully be back for the next matchup. So, you know, and then I was just you know, going through all the sports, I didn't even touch on track and field, right, which is our one that, you know, we won the indoor and have expectations to have high hopes in the outdoor too. So, again, I'm in such a good place with where we're at right now.
Well, your fingerprint continues to grow on this campus, especially with new coaches that you've brought in, the newest being Sahar Nusebe. And really that process was unique in that you had some ramp up time. You could really kind of deep dive into a search for that coach to make sure you got the right person for the job.
Yeah, it's very unusual to make a change mid-year, and I think I've expressed that to a number of people. It's not usually who I am. I like to let people, you know, play it out, and I just felt like, you know, at the time, Fred had really lost the team, and he and I, you know, talked about that, and that I was going to give up on the team if I didn't make a change, and so we did. And then you're right, and then all of a sudden now you got 3-4 months to map out and have a list and keep an eye on people. And Coach Nusebe was on my list from the get-go to keep an eye on, and then she had people that we knew and had reached out and, you know, let it be known that she had an interest to come here and that being in the MAC was a dream job for her. And so it worked out well, but it is unusual to have that much time. It did make it cleaner when time was ready to, like, okay, we're going to start interviewing. We didn't need to talk to others. We didn't have to worry about agents calling or anybody else because they had already done that. We knew who had interest. Very few people were coming in last minute because they knew our job was open for a while. So that certainly helped.
One of the things that we talked about at homecoming when we had our last conversation here on The Insider was name, image, likeness, and the fact that it's a vital part of college athletics. And it's been kind of the wild, wild west. But in a lot of ways, as you and this department gets ready to launch its own collective and a marketplace here really any day, how much is that going to mean to have the ability to help these kids and really do it in a regulated fashion?
Yeah, I think, you know, the setup, you know, I don't like that we've had to take, you know, a couple years to map it out, but I think we're going to do it the right way. And, you know, the biggest thing obviously is educating our student athletes on their value to themselves and the value to the university and how do they take advantage of their name, image, and likeness. And then using that same opportunity to talk to our businesses to realize that our student athletes can bring value to your businesses here. And to be able to roll that platform out, to be able to be the conduit, there's an opportunity for our student athletes to see what sponsors have interest and our sponsors have an opportunity to see what student athletes have interest and be able to make that connection. And then how do we help them with their taxes and how do they understand, you know, what is a contract and what is actually, hey, you can't, they're not just going to hand you the money. You actually have to do something in return for that and working on that. So I think we're putting them in a good spot. You know, the other piece that we're going to have later this summer going into the fall is where all of our student athletes will be able to sell, you know, uniforms with their name on it, right? And have the blocky and you can buy a football jersey and have that, you know, that part of that money goes back to them in an NIL agreement. So now our student athletes can actually take advantage of, you know, if family, friends, you have a bunch of people back in your hometown that want to buy a jersey, buy it up, and guess what? 30% of that's coming back to the student athlete, and they get that. And that's how it should be. And so I remember the Dak Prescott days at Mississippi State. I could only imagine what his NIL check would have been or what his royalty check would have been with all the uniforms that we would sell with Dak Prescott.
Well, we saw it with Caitlin Clark just the other day at the Final Four. Everybody had Caitlin Clark jerseys.
Yeah, exactly. And I'm hopeful that she has that set up where she was making some of that. We're going to have that here at Eastern Michigan, which I'm really proud of. The fact that – and it'll be seamless. It's through an app that our student-athletes are already familiar with and already have their information and pictures and everything else. So just real excited about that opportunity, and we need to take advantage of it.
Here's the fascinating aspect I find of your job, Scott, is that there really is never a finish line. You get money for a new field from Max Crosby, you put that in, but there's renovations going to the stadium. You're going to add a student cafeteria. Like, there's never a point where it's over. There's kind of little finish lines along the way, but do you enjoy that aspect of it, that it's never over, that there's always more to get, more expansion? That seems like it would be tough. Like probably enjoy a six-month period where I'm just going to go to games and not think about anything.
Yeah, no, it's tiring because all you want to do is improve, and you're always trying to think about what's next. And, you know, I talk about, I've talked about since I got here that I wanted to remove the track, that I thought our track program deserved their own track, and that our football program deserved to have their own football stadium. And, you know, we're finally there. You know, I've, you know, now talked about a second indoor practice facility. That's something that is top of mind that I want to get to. I also want to build a dining hall here, a cafeteria for our student athletes to be able to go and eat all the time, and even our staff to go and eat and interact with other, you know, coaches and staff and student athletes as well. And that benefits our student athletes. And then, you know, I just met with gymnastics this morning. We were talking about, like, how is your new locker room and how are these things? They're like, we love everything. And then the first question, I said, well, any questions for me? And the first question was, do you think we can get a pit next? And I'm like, you know, like, they're already thinking about the next thing, right? The good news is I've already had conversations and I'm thinking that way. But think about that. I'm doing that with 19 sports. We're trying to figure out, how do I help my track program be better? I got to do more stuff for baseball. You know, you've got lacrosse and soccer, right? We're trying to get fiber out to their stadium so they can actually be on TV next year and maybe even later this year or into the fall. And trying to do that with baseball too. So it's nonstop, and it's like, when can you just decompress? And you don't really get to do that. And then when you have good coaches, they push you. They push you to want to keep getting better. And so I'm trying to stay ahead of them. So when they ask me, I'm prepared. But that doesn't always happen. But it is, you know, that's the nature of the beast of the job. I enjoy that part of it. The NIL transfer portal stuff, I don't enjoy as much. That's the one that can wear on you.
As we spend our final moments here with Scott Weatherby, you look at this a chance tonight. You'll be addressing the students at the IPSES, their annual wrap-up event, and then kind of you start looking forward to the upcoming year and fans and all that. What are you looking forward to the most out of this summer, and what do you tell the fans looking forward for the fall as well?
Yeah, well, I would say that I think we're as healthy as I've seen us. Like, I really feel like we had the right coaches in place. We had an outstanding freshman class. Like, I will tell the freshmen, like, they, if you look across the board, it was our number one football freshman class that we had in the MAC that finally got here. Time will tell whether that will, you know, play out in the next 2 years. But when you look at how much our freshmen competed in, you think of lacrosse and gymnastics, they were more than 50% of the points. You look at swim and dive. You know, we got great basketball player freshman. Arne's done a great job. So if you start to really look at the freshman class, baseball's done well. So you've got those. I think that is what we're building on. And now I tell them, freshmen, help us go recruit the next group. Not forgetting about the current sophomores and juniors, but, you know, we really want to try to elevate and continue to get better. So I think we're in really good shape. That's the conversations that I'm having. I'm excited about the IPSES tonight. We'll celebrate this year. I'll say I was a little disappointed. I was hoping we'd win a little bit more. But I also feel good about where we're at. And obviously I had to make a lot of coaching changes this past year. And don't enjoy that. But I also like the energy of the new coaches and the excitement and the level that they're bringing. So let's hope for a great summer to get ready for an even better fall.
Yeah, season tickets on pace, ahead of pace right now for football. There's excitement and people are already ready for it.
Yeah, absolutely. Go out and get your season tickets. Our number is as high as it's ever been in my 7 years right now, so I'm really excited about that and appreciate the marketing team and our ticket office and obviously football program. We're excited to see. We got a great home schedule and you know, only one Maction game again, so that's we're pretty happy with that as well, and excited about the upcoming year.
God, thanks for your time as always.
All right, thank you.
This episode of the Eastern Insider Podcast is brought to you by National Trails Bus. Safety, comfort, reliability. Come ride with us, as well as Trinity Health. Trinity Health is the preferred healthcare provider of EMU athletics. Get top-tiered orthopedic and spine care to get you back in the game, as well as Standard Printing and Design, the standard of excellence in design and print for small business.
You're listening to the Blue Cross Blue Shield Eastern Insider Podcast, presented by the Folding Warehouse, the only show that brings you all things Eastern all the time. Now let's get back to the action with Greg Steiner and Tom Helmer.
Coach, spring ball is in the books. How do you feel now that it's behind you and you've gotten those 15 opportunities in?
Feel really good. You know, first, we had, you know, a couple injuries. You don't want to have any. I think overall, though, it's as healthy as we've ever been. So very fortunate and thankful for that. I also, my honest opinion, I think that we're 14 of 15. Right. So there was one day where I just didn't feel as though we sort of took advantage of the day. So 15 of 15 we didn't achieve, but 14 out of 15 is pretty darn good.
In terms of a game, capping it off at the end, a lot of people look at it as, well, let's play a true game. But in a way, situational scrimmages allow you as a coach to see some different things, to put guys in spots they may not if it's a true game. What do you think of how this all played out? Because it's happened a couple years in a row now that you've had to kind of go to a situational setup.
This year we're definitely healthy enough to scrimmage. It's just, you know, the risk and the reward.
Well, so, and the facility probably made it tough when you only have a 75-yard field, too.
Yeah, there's those factors. But we scrimmaged, like, full go, other than the quarterbacks, twice. And had about 75 plays, so we had 150 live reps and got out of that unscathed. Last week we did a situational scrimmage, big time situational scrimmage, had 94 plays, and then today was sort of kind of half, you know, sort of a scripted team and then half unscripted thud. And so we were at about 72 plays. So, you know, everybody got some reps and you still continue to get better, but, you know, we weren't in any danger of, anybody, you know, getting hurt. A couple guys went to the ground. Yep. And I shut it down. And the rest of the team got the message. Today was good.
You know, Chris, it feels like a new stage of life in Eastern Michigan football. When you walk out there, you see they've stripped the old turf out, the new field's going in. We're sitting in a building that wasn't here when you started coaching here. A lot has changed since you started here. Does it re-energize you to some degree when you see all the changes and the growth that's going on, not only with the team, but with everything surrounding Eastern Michigan football?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know about re-energize. I mean, I don't know.
You're as energized as they come. Do you look at it and be like, man, this is amazing?
Well, you know what? Yes. So, like, look, I'll be honest with you. So you've got to take times and sit back, you know, for however long, 30 seconds, and be like, dadgum, man. I still do it. This building is going to be 5 years old, you know, this July. It still feels new, right? I'm just telling you, it's like we do. We sit there and say, gosh darn it, this is awesome. You know, and nobody, I'll say nobody, most everybody doesn't know what it was like when we weren't in it. But it lasts, again, for 30 seconds. There's always, you know what I mean? I told this to Jeff Collin, our chief of staff. I was like, you know, we're going to get this beautiful, brand new field, but more than a field, that whole area and space, it's going to look so different. It's not going to stop there. It's not going to stop there, right? Then the bubble's coming down, and that, you know, we're going to get that better, and it needs to be, right? And so there's always things, just like me as a coach, right?
Right.
Me as a husband, me as a father, our team, like no matter how good it gets, you'd always, you know, and it, I think it's a problem if you don't take the time to say good job, right? And to, you know what I mean? But you never wallow in that, you know, you never sit in that. It always has to win a championship. So many things and so many different people have to be on the same page, working together at a high level. Mm-hmm. You know, that's one of the absolute beauties of football, is that you guys are a part of it. And if you guys are doing a really good job, it makes us better, right? I mean, our athletic training, our compliance, our academics, right? Our strength and conditioning, our equipment, right? The facilities, the human resources, all of it. And getting everybody on the same page, like motivated and going in the same direction and making things better and better and better and better and better. I mean, it's awesome to be a part of it.
When you look at this upcoming season, now you get to take a quick little respite before you're back out. You got new guys coming in. You had the first round of the incomers here today to get their measurables and all that. When do you kind of like pause and start, or is it just go until July now until you do get a break?
Yeah, no, there's really no pause. So we had 25 of our 25 incoming freshmen here today from Florida, from Georgia, from Virginia, from everywhere. How cool is that? Yeah. Same thing last year. I mean, you want to talk about great people and great families, you know, to make that happen. And so first time they were all together because they've been on different official visits or and whatnot. So what a blast. We had that. We had a junior day going on, right? Parents of our players coming back. And how about that dad tug of war?
That was a pretty good halftime.
In terms of rest, on Monday, you know, we're having a team meeting. We have unit meetings. We have position meetings. We have dinner for the defense because they won the turnover takeaway competition.
Then there's the steak and hot dogs, baby.
Okay. Yeah. So then you got the Ipsies, and then we meet with every player. Every coach meets with their player. I meet with every single player. That'll take, a little over 2 weeks. We have our Eagle Combine. They have finals, right? And then when the coaches are on the road, and our players are getting a well-earned break, you know, because the semester's over, that's when Jeff and I and Wilson and Neil Herman, our DFO, that's when we do all the planning for the whole next year.
So it's just a cycle that just keeps...
Yeah, our guys come back in May, and then June is incredibly busy. Yep. And I will say, you know, there's a transfer portal, you know, and that starts on Monday. And so there will be absolutely no rest, you know, both mentally, emotionally, you know, and physically. Yep. And so, yeah, I mean, that's just a huge new reality of college football. But we do take a break. We'll take a long Memorial Day weekend. Like really long.
Yeah.
And then we get, you know, those weeks in July.
It's funny because anytime we talk to you, we're like, we just need to talk to you for a few minutes, and there's so much fascinating stuff. We end up going much longer than we normally think we're going to go. But it's exciting to see this team, and you've talked about guys and the process and being with a team and developing. Is it harder to find those type of guys in this era when there's NIL and the portal and guys are like, I want to play now or I want to move? Is it harder to find that amoeba, if you will, group of guys that are like, you know what, like a dually, I'm at Eastern Michigan and this is what it's going to be for the rest of my college career?
Right. Maybe it's not their fault.
Right.
It's just society. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? It's just how things are just different, you know? And so, you know, start sounding like an old man. Right. You know, it's like back in the day.
Right.
But it's just it's just different. So
what does it mean to you when you do have that guy that's here and goes long term and you can see that development over a 3-4 year period? What does that do for you?
Oh yeah, no, I love that. And I love because they'll see that too. You know what I mean? They really do. And you know, you think about how many different aspects of life after this and after football where that's a pretty important lesson. Mm-hmm. Right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you think about that. There's some really big things in life that happen that are going to take some stick to it. Make it work. Don't give up. And keep getting better. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I don't know. Are they harder to find? I mean, I'm not blaming it on, you know, these guys. It's just, I think, the way society is and college football has kind of fell into that sort of full force in a matter of, you know, just a couple of years.
Coach, appreciate your time as always. Congrats on a great spring. We know that Victory Day and camps and everything will be here before we know it, and we'll be gazing out upon a new factory floor out there soon enough.
I can't wait. That's exciting.
There's only one podcast in Washtenaw County that takes you inside the athletic department every single week. The Eastern Insider Podcast. Your home for all things Eastern all the time. This has been another edition of the Blue Cross Blue Shield Eastern Insider Podcast, powered by Learfield. Tune in every Monday for new episodes all year long. And don't forget to visit emueagles.com/podcasts, SoundCloud, Apple Podcasts, or your home smart device for all of our episodes on demand.